to God's Word. For our theme text tonight, I'd like you to turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And I'd like to read just a couple of verses to help set the stage for the message this evening. And first of all, I'd like to read verse 17 and then also read verses 23 and 24. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, 23, and 24 as our theme text for tonight. And then I'll give you the title. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Verse 23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to help us. Our Father, we pray that in these next moments we would know You coming and speaking to us from Your Word, that we would be encouraged and we would be exhorted from it to do the work of the Lord that You have given for each of us to do. We thank You for the privilege that it is to serve the Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My title's kind of long this evening. Our brother asked about the title, and so it's kind of a longer title, so let me give it to you as we get started. It's called Lessons or Motivations in Leading and Serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Lessons, motivations, encouragements, if you will, in leading and in serving for the Lord Jesus Christ. After this morning's message, we were encouraging ourselves and helping ourselves as we think about serving the Lord. We talked about the discouragement and the depression and the hardship that we can somehow face. We talked about, as it were, we were a player on the field who had been pulled back out to the side, and we'd been given some encouragements and some instruction. And now we've got to go back out onto the field, if you will, to serve the Lord. And so this evening, that's my intention, to encourage us in ways in which we may be called to serve the Lord, or where we may even be called to lead for the Lord. Sometimes I think as believers we need to be reminded of some basic things, some basic principles. In fact, it's probably true that we need to be reminded about more things probably than we need to be instructed in sometimes, especially as we think about some of those disciplines in the Christian life. Don't we need those reminders about prayer? Don't we need those reminders about Bible reading? We need those reminders about things in the church life and in the body. And so I hope this sermon will be something like that, a reminder to you to think about ways that you're serving the Lord and you're taking up things for His glory. You see, the Lord has given to us a number of different spheres to serve Him. And as we were talking about this morning, sometimes we can become weary in our work in those areas. And sometimes we need to take initiative and we need to lead or do new areas of service for the Lord. And when those new areas can come, we can be a bit like Timothy. We can be reticent. We can take a step back from that responsibility. And we need, as it were, the Apostle Paul to point us in the finger at us and to say, preach the word, or whatever the word might be that we need at that time. My burden in this message is just to share several lessons from God's Word on this theme, and I hope that they'll be an encouragement to you as you seek to follow the Lord. Because tomorrow we've got to go to work. We've got to go to some work, to some sphere of responsibility. To me, I've got to go back to the classroom tomorrow and teach my students. You may have to go back to studies. You may have to, you kids, you may have to go back to school tomorrow morning. We all have our callings that we're going back to in the morning. So here's the first thing that I want us to remind ourselves of, and that is we're called by Jesus Christ. We have been called by Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, as the Apostle Paul speaks, he says, "But when He who set me apart before I was born and who called me by His grace was pleased to reveal His Son to me in order that I might preach Him among the Gentiles." Romans chapter 8, verse 35 talks about us being called as well. But it goes without saying, but there's great power to remember this truth as we're doing our service for the Lord. It is by grace that we have been saved, isn't it? And it's by that grace that the Lord Jesus Christ, who has worked in our hearts, who has saved us, who has changed us, it's He that's calling us to go out to be salt and light wherever He has sent us. And so each day we have to remind ourselves of who we are in Jesus Christ. As we get up in the morning, we have to look ourselves in the mirror and we have to remind ourselves that we're not what we used to be. We've been called by God. We've been changed by God. The Apostle Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In other words, what I'm trying to say this morning, as we think about our service for the Lord, we say to ourselves, Jesus came and Jesus saved me. He sent His Son to die for me. He sent His Spirit in His heart, into my heart for me. And He changed my heart. I was once a wicked person. I was once a blasphemous person. I was once so many things. But now I've been changed. I've been called. I've been saved by Jesus Christ. That's who I am now. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And so from now on, when I do my work, when I serve others, when I take up leadership, when I'm working in the home or at the school or at the office or wherever I am, I'm doing it in Christ, abiding in Christ, because of Christ, because of all that He is doing in and through me. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 talk about this. It says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on the things of this earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We've been called by Jesus Christ. In other words, what I'm trying to say this morning is we're not doing our work in the flesh anymore. We're not taking up our duties because we want to do good. But we're doing our leading and our serving because of not us, but of what Christ has done in and through us by His Spirit. So we may say tonight that if we're a believer, we've been chosen by Him. He sent His Son to die for us. He sent His Son to pay for all of our sins. And He's given to us His Holy Spirit. And so we can go forward as we're doing that work that He's given us to do. We've been called by Christ. We've been changed. We're not just saved and then we kind of do our work apart from that. But no, God has done something in us. So there's a spiritual power. There's a spiritual might in everything that we're taking up to do. So as you get up tomorrow morning, remind yourself. I want to remind myself, as Martin Lloyd-Jones would say, we need to think about our new identity in Jesus Christ to motivate us, to strengthen us. We're not going to be able to make it tomorrow morning if we think about ourselves or that we're going to do better or that we're going to be more positive or whatever the case may be. But if we think about what God the Father did for us and we think about what Jesus did for us and we think about what the Holy Spirit did for and in us and is doing for us, then tomorrow morning, we've got to make a hard phone call, or we've got to get up early, or we've got to speak to a child, or whatever the case may be. We can do that with a renewed sense of vigor and power because we've been called by Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is just remind ourselves that we've been saved. That's not a small thing. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing as we're taking up our service and as our leading. He's called us. He's put His hand on us. Not that we lifted up our hand to Him, as it were. The second thing I want to remind you about this evening is that we are given a work to do for Christ. We love, don't we, Ephesians chapter 2. And you might want to turn over there just to look at it again. We read and are so encouraged by Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, where it says, we were raised up with Him and He seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ. And then verse 8, it was by grace that we have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. And I know every one of us here tonight would amen that it was not our own doing, but it was God's doing in us. It was not our own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of any works that we did so that anyone may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says the same thing. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. What I'm trying to say to you this evening is we have each been given areas and spheres of duty to serve the Lord. They have been a stewardship that Christ has given to each of us. And though it may not seem like it sometimes tonight, it really is a rich privilege to get to do anything for the Lord. Right? To be able to take any cup of cold water to a needy believer for the Lord. Who's worthy here this evening to even take a cup of cold water to a fellow believer who's needy? Who's worthy here to take up your cell phone and to try to call someone who's not saved and say, you know, you should be saved? Who's worthy to be able to hold the gospel of Christ? Right? It says we're just like earthen vessels, right? And it's just all spilling out that the glory may be of God and not of us. It's a privilege. Oh, it's a stewardship. Oh, it's wonderful that we can do anything in the kingdom of God. Right? To be able to be a doorkeeper, right? To be able to sit in the chair in the back and greet people who are coming in to the house of the Lord, Psalm 84 says. Oh, it's a great privilege to be given a work to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you tonight, what work, what service has He given you to do tonight? To do, you who are saved from your sins. What work has He given for you to do? You think about how He saved your marriage from ruins, your life from being nothing less than havoc and pain, right? And then He gave to you that stewardship. He, as it were, asked you to come as one of the servants. He asked you to come and He says to you, here's what I'll give you to do. And you say to the Lord, Lord, who's worthy? I'm not worthy of such a work. And when the Lord gives us a service, it's usually nothing grand. We're not going to be on the news, or we're not going to be on the radio. We're not going to be on the Facebooks or anything like that. But He's given us works to do for His name. I just want you to be overwhelmed again this evening to be able to do anything for the Lord. You say, well, all I can do is pray. All you can do is pray? All you can do is pray? Like we were praying tonight, we were entering in. The brother could show that box of medicine going up the hill that's part of that email. Wouldn't it be a privilege, if it's okay, to have the sweat pouring down your face? And to have a couple of hundred mosquitoes biting you, if you will, and holding on like they were on, it's like a stretcher kind of thing made out of wood with a box on it, and to be able to carry that up the hill. And maybe you get two or three, maybe 2 weeks or however long malaria goes for, I don't know. And to be able to take malaria for a while, but to be able to say, you know, I took the medicine up the hill. For the glory of God, I took it up the hill. Now, we're not probably asked to take any medicines up the hill, but somebody had to take it up the hill. Pastor Andy can't take it up the hill. And Miss Rebecca probably couldn't take it up the hill, but they took it up the hill. I'm just saying to you tonight, dear ones, that it's a privilege to have any service to serve the Lord God. And most of the time, you all know this so well, most of the time the service is hard to do. Most of the time it just pours out all of our strength and all of our emotional energy till we're just without almost strength, as it seems. But the Lord, like we learned this morning, those that wait on the Lord, somehow, as Pastor Gary has said, you just give yourself till you're totally empty and there's nothing left. And then it seems like when there's nothing left, there's just so much more really left. After all, because of God, because of the first point, because we're in Christ. And so we're just connected to that vine, that everlasting supply of strength, that everlasting supply of what? Living water. because Jesus said He would give us the Holy Spirit. So what are some of the works that maybe the Lord has given you to do? Maybe it's nurturing and training your children week after week, day after day. Just nurturing them, teaching them the Word of God, bringing another Scripture to them, helping them love the Lord and know the Lord. That's no small service to Him. Maybe it's caring for your husband. Maybe you have a husband who has particular needs that require certain types of care. And nobody knows about that but you and God. And so you just care for him. And you just love him. And you minister to him. And you pray for him. That's a sphere of service for the Lord. Maybe it's the job that you've been given. You've been given a unique job, a unique place at your job, at your work. Maybe for some of you, and we're seeing this in our church, it's helping an aged parent. One of the brothers said to me just this week, he said, "Stephen, I can only go to one service because of mom and dad, because I'm having to care for mom and dad." And so you're pouring yourself out for them. Maybe it's service in this church. Maybe there are ways that you're serving here. Maybe it's ways in the community. But whatever it is, we're given works to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me just encourage you tonight to do them for the glory of God. Take them up cheerfully. Like this verse says to us in Colossians in chapter 3, whatever you do, work heartily, but do it for the Lord. As He's loved you, you love too. You love too. And the reward will be yours both in this life and in the life of to come. I sometimes give talks to different groups of people, and I'll just conclude this one with this point or this illustration. I was giving talks to teacher assistants in schools. You know what I mean? The teacher assistants. Not the main teachers, but the teacher assistants and teacher helpers. And as I was going along, it was hot in the room. It was in the afternoon. I'd given a talk in the morning, a couple hours. I'd given a talk in the evening. And one of the ladies just could tell that I was thirsty. And you know how thirsty I tend to get. And so she went to the back, and she got me a glass of water. Now, I'll never forget it. She came up around. She gave me the glass of water. I was so moved by that. And I said, "Oh, thank you. Thank you for giving me the glass of water." And she looked at me and she said, "That's what we do. That's what we do." And brethren, that's what we do as the children of God. And I know we say that, glass of cold water. But I'll tell you one thing. If you need a glass of cold water, then that's what you need. And if you get it from a fellow believer who loves Christ, wow, that's a great blessing. Third thing I want to remind you of, as a people of God this evening, is to be obedient to God. As you're leading and as you're serving, be obedient to God. We just can't underestimate the call to be obedient to Him, to all of His Word, to all the Word of the Lord, not just to parts that we find more pleasing to ourselves or to our own condition. 1 Peter 1 and verse 15 should come to mind here, dear ones, where Peter says, "But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" As we lead and as we serve the Lord, He is not calling us to be cool. He's not calling us to be clever. He's not calling us to come up with an agenda of our own. He's calling us to be obedient. Obedient to His Word, to follow His commands, to follow His will. And so I want to ask you tonight, some of you, pointedly, if you will, are you struggling with that right now? Is there some specific area in your life where you're saying to yourself, "I don't want to obey God there. I'll obey God here, and I'll serve God here, and I'll lead for God here, but here, I don't want to do it. I'm just going to put my light under the bushel. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to put it under a bushel." And you say, but we can be stubborn like that, can't we? well, it's just too hard. It'll demand too much of me. And so, and I'm just, you know, I'm just a weak Christian, you know. We say all these things. So the Apostle Paul actually called himself strong. I mean, he called himself weak, right? So is there an area like that? Or an area where you've got to be salt for the Lord? You know what He's told you to do, but you just won't do it. That's a bad place to be, brethren. That's a bad place to be. You're starting to be rebellious to the Lord. You need to stop. You say, well, that's pretty blunt, Pastor Stephen. I'm being as blunt as I can. Because you better stop now. Because it'll only get worse if you keep disobeying Him. If you keep pushing Him back. Don't push Him back. And as I've been preaching right now, you said to yourself, there it is. He brought it up. I just don't think I can obey there. And He's brought it up. How did He know? Well, the Lord knows. And the Lord is saying to you, and I'm pleading with you tonight, but as a servant of the Lord, don't resist the Lord anymore. You don't have to tell me. You just tell God right now, Lord, I'm stopping. I'm stopping. I will not disobey You anymore. I will lead. I will serve. I will take up what You called me to do. I will embrace that cross. Yes, I take that cross. I'm putting it on my back. I'll take that burden, Lord. I will obey. There is so much more joy than just constantly trying to push it back, trying to resist it, trying to stay away from it. He'll help you with it. He'll help you repent. He'll help you serve. He'll come to you. You can go into the book of Genesis and study the different servants of the Lord. You got to follow Him. You got to do what He says you'll do. Remember what He said to Joshua? Moses, my servant, is dead. And I'm not sure if it was in chapter 1, but maybe it was. He says, get up. Get going, Joshua. Here's what you have to do. I'm not asking you to be a Moses. I'm asking you to be a Joshua. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Do not be dismayed. What does dismayed mean? Well, it means to look back, right? So He says, don't do that. You take the people into the promised land, and I'm going to be with you. So be obedient to God. As you're serving, as things come your way, you be obedient to the Lord. Number 4. I'll say it this way. You can be young or new at the work and thus dismissed. Do you follow me? You could be young as an age or as a spiritual maturity, or you could be new at a work and so you could be dismissed. And you say, where are we going with this one? You see, if the other principles are true, you're in Christ. You're so privileged. You see the privilege that you're going to take up the works that God has given you to do. And you're going to be obedient to Him. Then as you step out in faith, there may be a pushback to you. There may be resistance to you. Right? You begin to share the gospel with somebody. You know that young lady I talked to you this morning? She resisted the gospel many times. She pushed it back. And that can be true in other spheres as well. You want to do what is right. You want to do what is well-pleasing of the Lord. But that's not a guarantee that it's going to be well-received if you're doing His will. You see what I'm saying? You could do His will and you could receive even more difficulty, more trial, more challenge. Let me give you an example. Joshua and Caleb thought it was good to take the land. And they were right. I mean, especially after my, like I'm saying, I'm more in the book, these books of the Bible than I've ever been before. They had the promises of God. They knew what God had said was going to happen, and they needed to go and take the land. And so Joshua and Caleb said, our God is great. He's promised us the land, and it's not of us, but it's of Him. But since, because of these things, we've got to go. And what did the people say? No, we can't go in the land. The giants in the land. It's not possible. And they discouraged all the people. And God was not happy with that. God was displeased with that because they resisted His will. And like I told you this morning, 650 some thousand people died in the wilderness because they were rebellious against God. They did not want to do the will of God, except Joshua and Caleb. And so when Moses is giving the book of Deuteronomy on the plains of Moab, Moses is saying, all your fathers who rebelled against me, against God, we've all buried them. Only Joshua and Caleb are the ones that are going to go into the promised land. I told you this morning about David and Goliath, right? And David is there when Goliath is there. And David has a keen eye to God's glory. And so David says what? David says, is there not a cause? And what do his brothers say? You just want praise or pride, or why are you talking like that? You need to go back to the sheep, David. What was David's problem? Well, David had an eye to the glory of God, and his brothers did not. Another example that I think is very important for us to learn from, and that's the example of Timothy. And I'd like you to turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Maybe some of you memorized this verse a long, long time ago. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Paul says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Timothy was being despised. He was being pushed back maybe there in the church. And so Paul tells Timothy, don't let them despise your youth, Timothy. Don't let them despise you. Don't let them push you back from doing the work and serving the Lord. You be an example to them. You let them see that in the way you're speaking in godly ways. In the way you're living your life, that you're holy. You're fleeing all kinds of youthful lusts. Timothy, as you're preaching and as you're ministering among the people, be abounding in love towards them. Timothy, in the faith that you have, believing in the promises and what God can do there in the Ephesian church. And Timothy, be a man of purity. Have that pure, holy desire that there's no unclean thing within you, no idol at all, but a total devotion to God. You do that, Timothy, as you're serving there in the church. Verse 13, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. And then Paul says this to Timothy, don't let people neglect, do not neglect the gifts that you have. Now that's an interesting phrase right there about neglecting the gift that God has given. And I want to kind of make an application to us tonight as well. I want you to think about that. What does it mean to neglect the gift or neglect the service or the stewardship that God has given us? Well, it means to think that it has no value. It means to be careless with it. It means to disregard it. It means that it just has no significance at all. No value, if you will. To make light of. To neglect it. To show no regard of it. To not even give it momentary attention. To be careless of. To make light of. And so Paul was telling Timothy, don't do that with the gift that God has given to you. And tonight, by implication, God's saying that to us as well. Don't neglect the gift that He's given. The stewardships, the spiritual talents and gifts that He's given to us as His people. Don't disregard them. Don't think them light. Don't take them as careless, if you will. But instead, use them, Timothy. Use the gifts that you've been given, which was given you by prophecy, by the council of elders. And so I encourage you, as the Lord's people tonight, the gifts, the stewardship that you have, don't neglect them. Don't push them, as it were, to the side. You see, for Timothy, he was at times timid and he was bashful, if you will. And he sometimes would take a step back. But he must have been a good teacher, according to 1 Corinthians 4 and 1 Corinthians 16. Paul was always sending Timothy to do these works. And you can imagine how hard they would be. If you've read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, you have to challenge people. People are quarreling about words. Timothy doesn't see himself as a as a Pauline kind of, you know, kind of person. Paul says, Timothy, you're the man. You're the man for the work. You can do the work, Timothy, but don't neglect the gift. Don't despise the gift. Don't despise what God is doing within you. And so I would just encourage you, you the Lord's people, are you despising a gift that God has given to you? Are you? It's a gift. Maybe it's a spiritual gift or a work that you haven't done in a long time. I'll tell this about myself. I'm not going to say what it is, okay? But I did this for a little time about something. I just said, I'm not doing it. And then finally the Lord's like, Stephen, don't do that anymore. I was like, okay. I know I'm laughing about it, but at the time it was stressful. I was like, no, I stopped. And I stopped neglecting that. And I did it. And it was hard, you know, stuff like that. But the joy of obeying God, even though it was so hard, you know, I like I said, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I obeyed Him, and it's like, it kind of felt like a, you know, like when you, something, I don't even know the right way to explain it to you. You're like, you know that joy that you feel when you know you've pleased the Lord. He told you to do something, and you did it. And I was like, yes, Lord, I did it. And I got done. And I thought, and then you know what? That stirred up new obedience. And that opened up some new opportunities that I never had even dreamed of. And so I'm challenging you. I know I'm not doing it very well, but I'm challenging you that there could be some places in your life where you are neglecting the gift of God that is in you. You've just said, forget it. You got discouraged. Someone cut you down. I don't know. I can't work all that through in a sermon this evening. And this challenge comes from the Scriptures. Well, I'm too young. You know, I'm too old. I'm too this. I'm too that. And the Lord's like, I'm not hearing those excuses. Put the excuses in the back. I want you to obey me. I mean, I know I'm keeping on this, but isn't it humbling to think again, you all, that the Lord sends Timothy to do certain works? He sent Timothy to Corinth. I mean, wouldn't He have sent Titus? Titus seems to not be as emotional a guy as Timothy. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17. That is why I send you Timothy. One description, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. I'm sending you Timothy. You listen to Timothy because he's my servant, says the Apostle Paul. First Corinthians 16, verse 10 says, when Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you. For he is doing the Lord's works just as I am. And then can you imagine? We're hearing the public reading of Scripture, right? And you hear, so let no one despise him. Help him on his way in peace, that he may return to me, for I am expecting him with the brothers. Paul's like, I've sent Timothy. He's going to do the Lord's work. And I'm going to ask him how it was. And when he comes back, make sure it's good. Okay. I'll stop there, you guys. But I really want you not to neglect the gift of God that is in you. That's a burden. I don't know why it's a burden right now, but it's a burden. Some gift, some stewardship, some sphere. You say, well, he's saying it again. That's right. Some sphere, some spot. Now, I'm not talking about these grand, you know, thing. It might just be something really small. But God could use it in a great way. The fifth reminder that I want to talk to you about this evening as an encouragement and tied on to the last one is called the sowing and reaping principle. Turn your Bible, if you will, to Psalm 126. You say, okay, I'm going to obey. I will obey the Lord. I've thought about what I need to do. But I need just a little bit more encouragement this evening. I'm still struggling just a little bit. I'm not disobedient anymore, but I'm Psalm 126, verse 5. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. And he who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. The sowing and the reaping principle. And this, brethren, is just simply that as we seek first the kingdom of the Lord will bless the labor and bring a harvest. So let's think about that for just a little bit. Turn over, if you will, also to Galatians chapter 6. To Galatians chapter 6. Don't be deceived. Verse 7. God isn't mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will reap. You sow telling people about Jesus Christ, you'll reap people knowing and loving and being in Jesus Christ. You sow prayer, you'll reap answers to prayer. You sow good deeds, there's a reaping. For the one who sows to his flesh will from their flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Verse 9, chapter 6. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And then, of course, the passage that we talked about in Colossians as well. So let me ask you some questions to help search your heart on this theme this evening. Ask yourself some questions. In the area of friendships, how are you sowing in the area of friendships? Ask yourself the question, how am I building new friendships for the Lord? And how am I sustaining the old ones? A friendship only has to start, right, with some. Is there someone who you could build a new friendship with? You've been thinking about that. Maybe that's where the Lord would direct your way. How are you doing with the old friendships? Isn't it hard as you get older to sustain some of those old friendships, even Christian friendships or unconverted people that you knew in the past? Sometimes Facebook or other social media, I've been hearing friends say, well, bring up friends they've not met in a long time who aren't believers. And there's been opportunities for the Lord with those friendships. But my question is, how are you sowing in your friendships? Maybe it's in the area of relationships. Are you thinking of ways to build relationships? For those of you that are single this evening, that might move to a lifelong companion. Are you sowing to the Lord in those areas? Maybe you are. Maybe you just need to be faithful with the seeds that are being sown. What about in your work? How are you sowing in your work? What are you doing in your studies or work to sow for the future for the glory of God? And most specifically, how about in this church? Are there ways that you're sowing in for the glory of God for this church? Can you list them? Are there some that you could write down and say, you know, for this church, these are ways that I'm sowing. I'm planting seeds. The Lord knows. I don't tell everybody, but I'm planting the seeds. I'm still giving out those gospel tracts. I'm still sending an email. I'm still praying. I'm inviting people to church. All of these things, brethren, I guess I'm just saying to you is that we can grow weary. We can grow despondent. We can grow like we were this morning. And so we've been encouraging ourselves in who God is and now in what Jesus Christ has done for us and the great stewardship that it is to be able to do anything for God. And so we're saying to ourselves as a little band of God's people tonight, we stir ourselves up like Paul told Timothy. We stirred up into a flame, Paul said to Timothy. stirred up into a flame. It's like a little group of embers, you know, when the fire's gone down and we stir it up, so then a flame begins to light, and that's able to go out to the glory of God. I don't think Nicola will mind, but she sent me a text of scripture, and that was 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12. It's a great verse of scripture for what I'm preaching on. She didn't even know. But it says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12, "So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit," which we knew the Corinthians were, right? Paul says, "Strive to excel in building up the church." Strive to excel in building up the church. Maybe it's something like praying through the directory of all the names of the people in your church. Praying for your pastors more regularly than you ever have. Brethren, you don't know how much we need prayer as pastors. The spiritual warfare is so intense, both within and without. We get calls all kinds of times and needs and burdens. And sometimes, I mean, we don't have to have encouragements from you guys. We get encouragements from the Lord, but it sure is great when an email comes or a phone call or a handwritten letter says, "Thank you. Thank you for serving the Lord." I've heard that some pastors have been close to quitting until an encouraging word or letter. And I know for myself and for other pastors, even a humble thank you at the door for the message or for the ministry, you count those up, those thank yous. You're like, "Oh, who's so-and-so said thank you?" You're like, "Amen, you know, amen." Just like we feel when we serve. Someone says, "Thank you. It was done in His name." Maybe there's some ways for some of you that you could be a salt and light in your community. Maybe there's an open door that you've been given on a community board. It's interesting how the Lord can open up some of those spheres of responsibility. But the point is, we sow to the Spirit. And the key is that the Spirit is helping us. The Spirit is directing us by the Word to know where we're supposed to sow. And so we sow, and we sow, and we sow. And the promise of God is that we will reap. And you say, "Brother Stephen, it just does not seem like I've been reaping." Well, I know. I feel that way too. I really feel that way too. Sometimes I feel like it really, really discouraged. In fact. But the example that comes to mind, first of all, is even with Naomi. Right? The Lord, she lost her land, she lost her husband, she lost her two sons, and she lost one of her daughters-in-law. Now that's... And she told Ruth to go back. But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or for where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God." And Ruth is in the lineage of Christ, right? There was a purpose. There was a good work. And so I just encourage you tonight to keep sowing to the Spirit, for we'll reap if we do not faint. The Holy Spirit will bless our work as we serve Him. Hosea 10 verse 12 says, "Sow for yourself righteousness, reap steadfast love, break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, that He may come and rain righteousness on you." He takes our work that we do, though it's weak and imperfect, and He uses it for His glory. Leaders and servants of the Lord know that when you sow, you reap. And that's because the Lord's behind it all. I'll close with an illustration. Which maybe if you knew me better, it might even be a little bit funny. But Lori decided this summer that she was going to make some raised garden beds out of wood. You know what I'm saying? We had to put all this dirt in it. But first we had to clear out the ground, and then we had to measure, and we put the dirt in there, and then we had to put the seeds in, and then we watered the seeds, and we just waited and waited. And I think that's pretty simplistic, right, for those of you who are true with this. And I think that's what happens to us as the people of God. We have to wait. God decides about the growth. We have to wait. And it's hard and it's sweaty. And we have to wait. You see where I'm going with this? And so that's what happens in the things of the Lord. And we have to wait. Some of you have planted the seeds and you're waiting. And then you're like me. My responsibility was the watering. And so I would go out there with that hose, right? And you ever thought about watering? I mean, I like to water. But all you do is you just take the hose and you put it on the area. The water comes out. If you let it too long, it puddles up and makes mud, right? And then you're worried the seeds are going to wash away or something. But the water just goes in there. And then you look at the ground and nothing's happened. You just know it's got water. And so I would go out again and again and again. And it was a hot, dry summer, so we had hurricanes, right? But then you know what? All of a sudden, the right time, the little seeds started coming up. And there they were. And so then I had to go out and water still, you know. And that was watering just the green plants. And then for long, the tomato vines got high, right, hun? And the flowers got tall that we had grown. And we could even see a watermelon. And so it was worth it. And sometimes, and at the right time, in this life, God pulls back the veil just a little bit. And He says, there you go. See? You see? And we say, I see, Lord, I see. I do see. And then He closes it back up. Maybe we go another 2 years. Long time. And then we get discouraged and tears are going to come out of the Lord. Sometimes He'll open back up. But when we get there, wow. We'll just be amazed. We will just be amazed at what we'll see there. And you know what we'll say? Lord, I'm a powerful servant. Who am I? And we'll get these crowns. I think I'll be embarrassed to even get a crown. You know? Won't you? I get a crown. I had such a bad attitude, Lord. I didn't want to do that. It hurt, and but I kept trying. And you know how my attitude is, Lord. But you did it unto me. As much as you did the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was in prison, and you visited me, and I was thirsty, and I didn't have any clothes, and you did it for me. Well done, good and faithful servant. And He's going to say that, and we'll see that throughout heaven. And when we've been in heaven 10,000 years, with no less days to sing God's praise than when He's first begun. So let me summarize. This morning, I wanted you to be encouraged. I wanted to help you in spiritual discouragement. So we looked up to God, the everlasting God, the God who doesn't faint, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then we came into that tonight and we said, okay, this God's true, this God's real, we're going to serve Him. And we looked at ourselves, we opened up our soul, and we looked inside and we said, okay, there's some areas where we've got to serve Him, or areas where we're already serving Him, and we need to not be weary and grow faint. And then we've said to ourselves, there's going to be a harvest. There's the great day of the Lord. And so we go forward. I think a good scripture to close is, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, don't you see them? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, a relative you love, a grandmother, grandfather. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so to us. Let's run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful that we could be together as Your people throughout this day. We thank You for this dear church, our Father. And we pray that You pour out Your blessing upon it. That You would encourage Your people. that you would stir your people on to love and good deeds. We pray that as we go throughout this week, that maybe just in this week, Lord, you'd pull back the veil just a little for us to see just a little bit of reaping in all that you have given for us to do. But regardless, Lord, we will serve you and we'll walk by faith and not by sight. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.